us, you have the blood, you have the, you know, whatchamacallit, the death, you have the frogs, you know, jumping all over the place from their pots and pans, and what they are cooking, frogs coming out, right? The rain and the famine, and Musa, Pharaoh saw everything, and the parting of the sea. You know, if it was you and I, you know, we would dare stepping into that, you know, that river Nile. But Pharaoh was so stupid that seeing after all of that, he stepped into it. That is nothing but stupidity, right? So the more a person becomes arrogant, the more stupid he becomes. And he commits mistake over and over again and does not want to accept those mistakes. You know, and we could see in terms of any political system as well. The more the arrogant becomes, they make an error, they don't want to accept it, they keep on making the same error as well. Supported Bin Laden, that was an error. Now supporting, you know, the rebels in Syria, thinking that they are free Syrian army, but they came out to be ISIS. You know, the same errors and mistake they repeat, keep on doing it. Vietnam, the same thing, you know. So therefore, the more a person becomes arrogant, the more stupid he becomes. And that is reflected. Now, after Pharaoh and Haman, yes, Pharaoh. Haman was also during the time of Musa alayhi salam, and he symbolized as the someone who helped the oppressors, the oppressors. You know, he had his army and he helped them. And these bayanat came to them, but fastakbiru, they were arrogant. Fil arth, upon this earth, wama kanu sabiqin. However, they could not, you know, sabiqin is like they could not run faster than the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to be sibqat, yani aage nahi bar sake. They couldn't carry on like that, right? And Allah sort of punished them. Now, after, you know, them being seized and them being punished, and if you look at it, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them, you know, Allah works in the most miraculous way. You know, as we were talking about Surah Kawthar last night, Surah Kawthar, the smallest surah of the Quran. But Surah Kawthar is the insurance of the Quran itself. If it wasn't for Surah Kawthar, the Quran will not be protected. Because inna atayna kal kawthar. Oh, Prophet, we gave you Kawthar. Kawthar as Siddiqah Kubra, as Fatimah al-Zahra. So Fatimah al-Zahra and the children of Fatima protected the Quran. The smallest surah and the most important surah. Right? So you have this, all these three, you know, zalim, you know, oppressors, those things which are source of life and stability, they were given azab through that. Water is a source of life. Pharaoh was given azab through that. Earth is a source of stability. Qarun was swollen up by the earth itself. Right? This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. Now, as he goes in verse number 41, it talks about وَمَثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ كَمَثَلِ الْأَنْكَبُوتِ. The likeness of those who take to themselves guardians besides God is like the likeness of the spider. Now Allah is comparing those who take the awliya other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like the spider, and how, for example, the spider make for itself a house, but verily the frailest of the all houses is the house of the spider. So if I am taking refuge in the house of a spider, that's the most frailest. If I am taking refuge in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously that's the most powerful. Now, even this example, all of a sudden, like as we said, you know, the Prophet is giving this example, talking about Ad and Samud, and then somebody replies to the Prophet among the Arabs. Then Prophet attends to them. You know, this is the way to understand the Quran, right? They say that, you don't have any other examples to give. You're using the examples of these hasharat, you know, these insects and all that, you know. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies this in a very beautiful, وَمَا يَعْقِلُونَ إِلَّا عَالِمُونَ. You know, Allah says that, تِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالِ, you know, as they say, تِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالِ, these type of example, these type of similes, we do not set forth unto people, but understand them none, but the learned ones. Those who have aql, those who are knowledgeable, they will understand what sort of example Allah is giving. in regards to, for example, the house of an Ankabut, where, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah, if you look at the house of a house requires a wall, requires a roof, requires a door or a window, for instance. Even the animals, there's some sort of covering, some sort of protection. But the house of an Ankabut is nothing like that. You know, it has no wall, it has no roof. Just by a wind, by dust, by fire, by water, it just crumbles, right? You know, it has no sort of protection. And it takes such a long time for that spider to really, you know, build that house. You know, they have some sort of substance in their belly by which they kind of gradually make that house. Having said that, you know, this web of the spider is the most strongest of all. Much stronger than the iron. The material that they use in the bulletproof vest is the web of a spider. So on one angle, you know, as they say, Allah, you know, Allah, the signs of Allah or the proofs of Allah is in opposites. To understand Allah is to really see opposites in one thing. That's how Amirul Mumineen was. Amirul Mumineen had opposites in him. On one side, the most kindest of all. On the other side, the most sort of courageous and the strongest of all, right? You know, you see these opposites in him. The same as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the Rahman, the most merciful of the merciful. But at the same time, he is, you know, Qahhar, you know, the avenger, right? So when that wujud of Allah is like that, then the examples that he gives will be like that as well. You know, a doctor is the one who uses his knowledge to cure. You know, his medicine will be like him as well, right? So the same, if Allah's wujud is in opposites, the examples that he will give and the manifestation and the things that he will show, it will be in opposites as well. Same applies for Amirul Mumineen as well. So therefore, yes, we'll end inshallah. So this example of Ankabut, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, is a very unique and special example. Where obviously, he says that those who take guardians other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like the house of an Ankabut, because it will take much of a longer of a time for that house to be built. Once it's built, it will have no sort of stability as well. It's very fragile, you know. So one must take refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather than others. And the Arabs, they kind of mocked about this example, that, oh, what sort of example that you are giving? And the Prophet replied to them that these type of, you know, the wahi came and the Prophet replied to them, these type of examples are really for those people, linnas, you know, nadribu linnas wama yaqiluha illa alimun, for those who are who could intellectualize, and they are the knowledgeable ones. So aql is a quality of those who have, you know, of our ilm, you know, of those who have knowledge. And then right after verse number 44, Allah talks about خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِالْحَقِّ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتًا لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. You know, Allah have created the heaven and the earth. Talks about that, like an insect, the fragile sort of house of a spider. Then he says خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. What are you talking about? You know, you're trying to criticize that I'm giving this example. You know, this example is given, you know, for those who have intellect, those who are knowledgeable. But خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, Allah is the one who is the creator of the heaven and earth, and because of haq, he has created it. And these are the ayat, and these are the signs of for the those who are mu'mineen, those who are the believers. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَىٰ تَحْرِينَ. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله أوله بلا أول كان قبله وآخره بلا آخر يكون بعده الذي قصرت عن رؤيته أبصار الناظرين وأجزت عن نعته أوهام الواسفين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيب إله ربنا وطبيب نفوسنا أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين والقاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل وعلى الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الدائم على أدائهم وغاصبي حقوقهم ومنكري فضائلهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في حديث المعراج بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الله قال يا أحمد هل تعلم ما ميراث الصوم قال لا قال ميراث الصوم قلة العقل وقلة الكلام The hadith of Miraj of the Prophet where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing out to the benefits of fasting. As we are on the 16th day of the month and coming and approaching special nights, the nights of Qadr, the nights of injury of Amirul Mumineen and the Shahadat of Amirul Mumineen, it will be wise to ponder, to reflect upon where a fast could lead. Because everything understood and a thing is understood by its value. You know, if you know the value of it, then we will be able to celebrate it. Then we will be able to really make the best use of it. What could be better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He Himself defining or mentioning the values of the fast. As we know, Hadith Miraj is when the Prophet went on Miraj, and there were many ascensions, not just one. And one of the Hadith is known as one of the famous Hadith of Miraj, where the Prophet met all the Prophets, he saw the heavens and all that. So now there's a discussion between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet in this Hadith. And I have skipped the premises of the month and the Shahrullah and the khutbah of the Prophet and all that. I'm pretty sure that you all have heard before as well, and even in this month as well, you know, you all been reminded as well. But this hadith was very interesting. So I said, inshallah, we'll discuss this maybe a couple of days. Ya Ahmad, hal ta'alam ma miratu sawm? Oh Ahmad, do you know what is the heritage? What is the miras of fasting? What you achieve, what you get, so to speak, while fasting. What is the end result of fasting? The Prophet said, I don't know. Obviously, when a person is in front of someone who's, you know, all knowledgeable, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is all knowing, no matter how much a person have the knowledge, he would say, obviously, I don't know. And that is the akhlaq and that is the etiquette, you know, rather than saying that I know, you know, this is what it is, these are the benefits of it, right? So you rather allow, you know, the most knowledgeable to speak, even if you know. This is akhlaqiyat. Yeah. This is how the Prophet is teaching us, and it's very much required by all of us. You know, we are sort of in a group of people, and then, you know, there is Maulana is there as well. All of a sudden I budge in, I say, oh no, you know, I kind of list down these things. Already somebody who is senior to me, for example. I'm talking about myself here, right? If I have an Ayatollah or somebody who is senior to me, although I know, but I'm not going to get in between and kind of share something or say something, or this is what it is, right? I'll allow that person to speak. And this is how it used to be with the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Prophet was there. In a hadith, it says that every night, the Prophet would go to the house of Fatima salamu alayha, and they had they would have night discussions, and they will discuss things, and the Ali Aba would be there every night. This was the habit of the Prophet, that he will sit with Panjatan and they will discuss things about Tawheed, about Malaika, about the heavens, right? So the Prophet would speak. And when Amirul Mu'mineen, he would speak. When Imam Hassan al-Mushtaba, he would speak. When Imam Hussein, right? So the Prophet says, no, I don't know. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies, he says, the mirath of fasting is eating less, obviously. Starting with something that is basic, something that is apparent. And this is the methodology that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in the Quran and in the Hadith. And this is how we are supposed to follow this methodology to train our children. Starting for something that is apparent. We don't really have to bring them, you know, proofs of philosophical proofs of existence, so on. Something that is something zahir, something that is very little that they could comprehend, that they could understand. Right? Yeah. So here, Prophet Allah says that it's eating less. You know, eating less would bring about, obviously, speaking less, you know, unless or until you are Maulana. You know, you got to give half an hour here, half an hour there, you know, half an hour after, you know, Jummah as well is always speaking. Right? You know, so eating less and speaking less, that is the mirath, that is the heritage. And as a matter of fact, the result of eating less is speaking less. So there is something good about speaking less. That is the purpose. That is why the fast have been prescribed. That a person, when he will speak less automatically, a person who would eat less automatically, he will speak less. So there's something good about speaking less that we need to think here. You know, the light bulb should turn on, you know. Because tongue is the, as the hadith says, that it is most of the people in Jahannam is because of their. Every morning there is an assembly of all of the organs. And the tongue is the monitor, is the head. They all say, if you allow us today, we will be protected. If you don't, there will be, we are in trouble. I think there are about, I'm not 100%, but tomorrow I'll get the exact figure. There are about 108 sins that could be committed with our tongue in total, if one wants to count it. I'm not sure about the number, but it's about over 100 if one really counts. I'll mention some of them tomorrow. I'll get the exact number as well. So eating less will bring about speaking less. A person will speak less. And one have to control. Allama Tawatabai was asked that, you know, it is very difficult for us to concentrate in prayers. You know, we always have issues, you know, in prayers, in our salat. Our mind goes here and there. Allama says, speak less. So if a person speaks less, his concentration span will increase. Because he says speaking is like, you know, like a bird going from one branch to the other. And if you notice, those people who have the habit of speaking, they don't stop. They start one thing, they go to the other thing, they go to the other thing, they go about 50 years behind what happened, you know. From one thing, from one little thing, they'll say, oh, this is what happened. Oh, you know, this is what it was given by my cousin. You know who's my cousin? He's, you know, he was the one, you know, living in Karachi. You know, Karachi, you know, at this time, you had so much. It just goes on and on and on and on, right? So it's like a bird who goes from one branch to the other. So when it is doing that, automatically my mind is boggling everywhere. It's not concentrated. It's not focusing. Because salat is focusing. You're focusing on the existence, on the wujud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you are in His presence, right? That's why you said you just look at the more that you have, right? And when a person speaks a lot, you know, he gets into the habit of, you know, his mind sort of fluctuates, it goes to different places. So Allah is saying in Hadith al-Mi'raj to the Prophet, that Prophet, the miras of fasting, you know, is that you eat less. And the miras of that is that you speak less as well, automatically. Then what will happen when a person speaks less? قَالَ فِي مِيرَاثُ السَّمْتِ. What is the result? What is the miras of samt? What is the miras of speaking less? الْمِيرَاثُ السَّمْتِ تُورَثُ الْحِكْمَةِ. When a person speaks less, hikmat will be given to him, wisdom. And as the ayah of the Quran says, if Allah gives hikmat, He has given khair to that person. When Allah is calling hikmat as khair, and hikmat is given to a person, and khair is given to him, what more he wants? But where does it start from? It starts from fasting. It starts from speaking less. And one is achieving hikmat. One is achieving that wisdom. And hikmat is something very special. That if a person have hikmat of things, then, you know, he knows the inside out of things in every field, you know. Many of us are aware of the Hakim that they used to have. You know, they will just, you know, listen to the nerve, to the pulse, and he would say what sort of issues the person have just by listening to it, right? That is hikmat. And that happens with speaking less. When a person automatically speaks less, he is always, you know, in contemplation. And how much of emphasis the Quran have laid on tadabbur wa tafakkur. You know, and how much of reward. If a 1 hour of tafakkur is better than 70 years of ibadat. The sleep of a person who is an alim, meaning who does tafakkur and tadabbur, is better than, you know, the 70 year ibadat of a person, you know, who is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just his sleep, right? And that comes with contemplating and pondering upon the ayah, upon the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is something we have to bring into our life. We talk about, you know, 100 rakat namaz, 1000 times inna anzalna, you know, this many times these du'as, that du'as, you know, but we don't think about how can we improve or learn to truly contemplate. What are the ways of it? What is the methodology of contemplating? You know, how can we contemplate in the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So that will come about by speaking less. When a person does that, it will happen. You know, as we were talking about the natives today, this afternoon, you know, the shamans, right? You know, the natives would look at the sunset and would give you the news of the future just by looking at it. Because their deen is ayat, is the signs. Their religion is nature for them. You know why the suicide rate in the natives is the most highest compared to any other, you know, ethnicity? It's because their religion have been oppressed. If you look at all these modern buildings and these aeroplanes flying and all that, you know, it is an attack on the deen, on their deen, because their nature was their deen, you know. And they read the signs and they communicated with it. And that has been taken over by all these development, all this modernization, which is evil, you know, and to a greater extent it is, right? Because, so contemplating, speaking less is the miras. Now continue. Hikmat will be given to him. Wa turithul hikmah, and if the hikmat is given, turithul ma'rifat. Ma'rifah. If hikmat, he has a hikmat, he will have ma'rifat. And ma'rifat, awwaluddin ma'rifah, Amirul Mu'mineen have mentioned. The first thing in deen, in religion, is nothing but understanding, is knowing, is ma'rifat. You know, a person who have, you know, man arafa nafsa, a person who have the ma'rifat of the soul, arafa rabba, he have recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything boils down to that irfan, boils down to that ma'rifat. You know, there is a hadith from the sixth Imam, Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam, which says that a person will not pay attention to the belongings of others, or indulge or entertain in that, in the glitters of the world, if he have the ma'rifat, if he have the knowledge, if he have the understanding, you know. Because ma'rifat is a very difficult term to translate. It comes with irfan, which is a which one might say is knowledge, but it's not knowledge. It's more than knowledge. It's understanding. You know. So therefore, a person will not care of anything if he have the ma'rifat. Awwaluddin ma'rifatullah. Then if a person gets the ma'rifat, وَتُورِثُ الْمَعْرِفَ الْيَقِينِ. It's starting from fasting. Fasting bring about speaking less. Speaking less will bring about hikmat. Hikmat will bring about ma'rifat. Ma'rifat will bring about yaqeen. This is the month of fasting. We will fast for one whole month. So at least some sort of yaqeen should increase in regards to the hereafter. You know? That is why you see, they say fasting is also symbolized as the day of judgment. You know, you will be reminded of the day of judgment with the hunger and thirst as the Prophet have mentioned. Or the Eid day will be reminded of the day of judgment because people will be rewarded on that day, right? So speaking less, eating less is a reminder of that phenomena, that reality that one should have yaqeen of, right? So ma'rifat, that understanding will bring yaqeen in one's heart, right? And that yaqeen is really something where we find Hazrat Amir mentioning, do I worship a Lord that I don't see? You know, that yaqeen they have in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as if they are seeing Allah, right? They ask sixth Imam Abu Basir, is one of the companions of the sixth Imam, who Imam had many companions. Abu Basir is the companion who was of Ahle Ra, you know, he was a wafer. He was, many of the spiritual treaties from the sixth Imam comes from Abu Basir. You had Zurara, for example, who was also the companion of the sixth Imam, where we find many of the tradition in regards to jurisprudence, you know, ahkam. Abu Basir's traditions are more spiritual traditions, where Abu Basir asks the Imam that, oh, the Sufis, they say that you will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Then the Imam replied that, what do you mean you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment? We see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today. You know, don't you know that Allahu Nuru Samawatu wal Ars, is Allah is not the light of the heaven and the earth. And he says, before you see anything, you'll see Allah first and then you see other thing later. Because if we kind of analyze this hadith, the nur is the reason why we see things. If the room was dark, I would not be able to see you and you would not be able to see me. It was pitch dark, right? It is because of the nur that we are seeing things. So the first thing we see is the nur. And who is that nur? Is Allahu Nuru Samawatu wal Ars. Allah is the light of the heaven and earth. So we see the nur first and then we see, recognize other things in multiplicity, right? It is because of our lack of our yaqeen. It is because of the lack of our ma'rifat that we are seeing things in multiplicity. We should be seeing things in unity, because أَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَسَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ, wherever you turn, there is the face of Allah. But unfortunately, we are not seeing the face of Allah. We are seeing, you know, a wall, a TV, a microphone, or whatever. You know, we are seeing things in its limited form rather than in its sort of infinite form, infinite reality. وَهُوَ مَاكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ, Surah Hadid. You know, wherever you are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. Are we really seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا, I haven't seen a thing. You know, قَبْلَهُ Allah, مَا هُوَ فِي Allah, as Hazrat Amir says. I haven't seen a thing before that thing, I have seen Allah. After that thing, I have seen Allah. With that thing, I have seen Allah. So do I worship a Lord that I don't see? So that person is seeing nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everywhere is nothing but that yaqeen, that certainty. But it's beginning with that fasting. That is why the first dua of the month of Ramadan we recite, oh Allah, place me from those who are the fastest, those who are the true individuals who fast. Oh Allah, place me from those who are the true worshippers. That's the first dua of the month of Ramadan we recite, that we ask for. Because that is the laying the foundation of the month of Ramadan. That count me, you know, place me, count me from those who are really truly fasting, those who are truly worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So miras of Ma'rifat is yaqeen. You know, one would have yaqeen. Fa'idha astayqin, when a person would have yaqeen, la yuba'ali kayfa asbah, then he will have no worry how he will make the morning, what will happen next morning. He will not really care about anything because he has yaqeen. He has, he's certain the risk is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, he is certain that the risk is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recite one salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. There's a nice teaching of Rajab Ali Khayyat. Rajab Ali Khayyat, he was a tailor and by profession, obviously, in Tehran. However, he used to give lessons in akhlaq. His lessons in akhlaq were very famous. And they were so famous that ulama, like big scholars, will attend his lessons. There's a book which is translated in English, which is known as The Elixir of Love. Belongs to Rajab Ali Khayyat. Rajab Ali Khayyat was someone who had hikmat, who had yaqeen, and who had ma'rifat. And he was someone who could see the reality of things, you know, the batin of things. You know, one of his student, who was a doctor by profession, came to running to his house. And then Rajab Ali Khayyat said, did you notice that everybody who were in the bus, they all turned, they all became a woman? Then the doctor said that, you know, how come you know this? You know, he was like shocked that, you know, how come you know this? You know, before the student reporting to Rajab Ali, the teacher mentioned that, you know, you want to report this, right? He said, yes. Why that happened? Then Rajab Ali said that, you know, and then their face changed back to normal. They said, yes, that happened. You know, there was a woman in that bus and everybody were looking at her. As everybody were looking at her, their face changed like a woman. And when she got down from the bus, their face changed back to normal. You know, as they say, the amal of a person is according to what he wishes. Rajab Ali was asked, از رجب علی خیاط پرسیدن چطور توانستی زندگیت را برپاکی بنا کنید. How was it possible that you made your life so pak, so pure, so good? چرا اینقدر آرامی؟ You know, why are you so آرام? You know, why are you so calm? You know, چه چیزی سبب می شود که هیچگاه خسته نشوید؟ What is the sabab really that doesn't make you خسته, that doesn't really make you tired? You know, چگونه هست که دچار وسوسه نمیشوید. How is it possible that you don't get waswas, right? وسوسه. گفت بعد از سالها مطالعه و تجربه زندگی خود را بر پنج اصل بنا کردم. After a long sort of, you know, experience, studying and learning, you know, I placed my life on five principles. These five principles. Number one. دانستم رزق ما را دیگری نمی خورد پس آرام شدم. My risk is not eaten by someone else. And I'm all right. I'm cool. My risk is not eaten by someone else. Number one. دانستم که خدا ما را می بیند پس حیا کردم. I know that Allah is watching me. That is why I became modest. That is why I'm, you know, sort of haya. You know, I have the haya in me. Number three, دانستم که کار ما را دیگری انجام نمی دهد. بس تلاش می کنم. I realized that my work, no one else is going to do. That is why I'm struggling to do my own work. You know, I know no one else will do my work. Number four, دانستم که پایان کارم مرگ هست. بس محیا شدم. The end of my work is death. That is why I'm prepared. That is why I'm ready. Number four. Number five. دانستم که نیکی و بدی گم نمی شود و سرانجام به سوی من باز می گردد. پس بر خوبی افسودم و از بدی کم کردم. I realize that good and evil, you know, it doesn't go anywhere, but it returns back to me. So therefore, I did good and avoided evil. So I based my life on these five principles. One, my risk is not eaten by anyone. You know, we tend to think that by, you know, by cheating, by doing something, by sort of, you know, extra sort of putting pressure on us. Sometimes that is not allowed, you know, technically speaking, you know, not giving time to the family, but trying to, you know, run for work sometimes, right? And at the end of the day, say that I'm doing it for the sake of family, but the family's structure is falling, crumbling and falling down because there's no presence of, you know, the father in the house or mother, so on and so forth, right? So the risk is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our risk will not be eaten by anyone. That's number one. You know, that's the first principle that Rajab Ali talks about. Number two, he says that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. So I should be ashamed. I should be sort of modest. Number three, my work is not done by others. So I have to do my own work. So I got to, you know, struggle. I have to try for it. No one else is going to come and do it. You know, I can't be lazy, basically. Number four, you know, at the end is death. So we got to prepare for death. That's why I'm always prepared. And I know that whatever I do, what goes around comes around, right? You know, if I do good, it will come back to me. If I do evil, it will come back to me as well. So therefore, you know, a person who have yaqeen, you know, he's calm. You know, because he doesn't really care, you know, what will be the, how he will face the mourning, what sort of mourning he would have. He would be happy, he would be sad, it doesn't really matter to him. And then this sort of state of nafs, فَهَذَا مَقَامُ الرَّادِيِينَ. You know, this is the maqam, this is the station of those who are pleased by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are radi. Radi Allahu anhum wa radawan. You know, these are the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are pleased with, and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So, but how come they reach to that maqam? Fasting. Fasting brings about speaking less. Speaking less brings about hikmat. Hikmat brings about ma'rifat. Ma'rifat brings about yaqeen. Yaqeen brings about sort of like, you know, tawakkul. You know, a person doesn't really care how he faces tomorrow morning. Which is pointing out to the maqam of a person who is radi, who is pleased with. This is hada maqamu radi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't stop here. And he continues. فَمَنْ أَمَلَ بِالرِّضَىٰ أَلْزَمَ ثَلَاثَةَ قِسَالٍ. A person who acts according to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, three qualities is granted to him, is given to him. Shukran la yakhalitul jahl. Shukr will be given to him without being mixed up or without ignorance. A type of shukr, a type of thanksgiving or thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will have no jahalat in it. As we recite in the du'as of Rajab, Allahumma inni as'aluka sabru shakirin alak. O Allah, provide me with this patience, with the sabr of shakirin. There are different types of sabr. When a musibat happens, hungry and thirsty, well, we got to do sabr, you know, regardless of what, because it's not time for iftar yet, right? But there are some people, they say shukr. You know, when they feel hungry and thirsty, they say, it's good. You know, I'm feeling hungry. I'm really thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So, Allahumma inni asaluka sabru shakirin alak. We recite in the du'as of Rajab, that oh Allah, provide me a shukr, a type of thanksgiving, that is of those who are patient, those who do sabr. You know, sabr against masiyat, sabr against calamities, difficulties that one faces. Right? You know, so therefore, a shukr without any jahalat. You know, they ask, there's a hadith from 5th Imam, which comes from Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala. From Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, where the 5th Imam asks, oh Jabir, in what state are you? Jabir says, Alhamdulillah, although he was ill. Because sometimes it happens to us, when we are ill, somebody asks us, how are you, Mawlana? Maulana says Alhamdulillah, but inside Maulana is like, really, oh man, it's terrible, right? But because he's Maulana, he got to say Alhamdulillah, you know. He said, Maulana, how are you? Say Alhamdulillah. But inside, so Jabir, how are you? And Jabir said, Alhamdulillah, you know, hamd. That's the level of hamd. Then Imam replied, Jabir, we are on the station of shukr. If something good happens to us, we say shukr. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? If something bad happened to us or a calamity falls for us, we say shukr at the same time. It doesn't really matter. We are always in that state of thanking Allah. We are not in the state of praising Allah. Hamd is a praise. Shukr is thanking, which is a higher than hamd. You know, hamd is just a praise. So a state of shukr without any ignorance. You know, that means when Imam Hussein alayhi salam is saying, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm really thankful to you. He really means it. You know, he's really thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Hazrat Zainab salamu alayha raises Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the decapitated body, the body without his head, and he says, shukran lillah, wa taqabba hadha qaleel. Or thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanks Allah. And she's saying, accept this little gift. Right? That is true shukr. When Imam Sajjad alayhi salam in the plains of Karbala, in the evening, in the Sham-e-Ghariban, when all the tents are burnt, right, his property is snatched and looted. You know, they asked Khuli Shimr, right, or Mukhtar, before he took the revenge, he was asking about the events, you know, what happened. He says, after the Shahadat of Imam Hussein, after killing Imam Hussein, we targeted the tents. We burned them. And we saw women going from one tent to the other. And finally, they gathered in one of the big tents. And they were all together. And we burned that and we entered it. And we saw a very fragile young lad sleeping on a carpet. We kicked him in order that we snatched that carpet. That was Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. And then they all came out. They asked Imam Sajjad that, how was Sham-e-Ghariban? Imam Sajjad said, have you seen tasbih when it breaks? And how the beads of this tasbih scatter around? That's how it was for us on that day, on that eve. It was very difficult. And finally, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, as the traditions reports, that he was lifted by Hazrat Zainab and he was brought out of the tent and he was laid on the ground. And on that eve, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam goes in prostration and he says, shukranillah. And he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. This is shukr without any jahalat, without any ignorance in it. Because it's the highest level of radhan bi qada'ihi. What was Imam Hussein saying? Radi, right? He's pleased. Wa tasliman li amri. You know, I'm surrendering to your amr, to your command. I'm pleased with the destiny that I have, right? And I'm surrendering to it. And Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is in shukr, is thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the eve of Ashura, seeing after what happened, the massacre and everything. A shukr, and that is without jahalat. This is given to a person, you know, who begins with that fasting, a true fasting. Fasting brings about speaking less. Speaking less brings about hikmat, wisdom. Wisdom brings about ma'rifat. Ma'rifat brings about yaqeen. Yaqeen brings about pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that station of pleasure, of radin. And that a person who is pleased with Allah is given three qualities. First quality is the one which is considered as giving shukr to Allah without any ignorance in it. He is truly thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every little thing. As a matter of fact, you know, as we are end of the time and we'll look at the two khislat and its description inshallah tomorrow. There was an alim who had lost his son. And he always used to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was never seen being, you know, upset or sad. And he, whenever they ask him, he will say thank. He will thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Imam Khomeini had mentioned this when his son died. They also reported that Imam was also moved because he was very intelligent and very good son. And then they buried, and he buried him, he himself, and he did the talqeen. And as he was coming out of the grave, a tear dropped from his eye. And then as soon as the tear dropped, he spoke to the tear. Oh tear, what has happened to you? You know, say thank. Say Alhamdulillah. You know, he has lost his son. But his sort of akhlaq was that. So we got to train ourselves. Instead of complaining, how are you doing? Alhamdulillah. In whatever state we are. You know, especially in the month of Ramadan, it's a good opportunity for us. Because we are facing difficulties with long fasts, so on and so forth. So we have to get into the habit of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever He's providing. Really, indeed, you know, if we look at the way we are sitting here, the way we are talking about these things so freely, you know, so easily, without a secure environment, you know, people are suffering at this very moment in Syria, in Yemen. Many of the, you know, the food mats or the dinner tables or the iftar tables, many of them, they don't have fathers, right? They're all suffering. They are at the front line facing the terrorist in this hot weather, you know, sacrificing, leaving their family behind. We have our families, you know, with us. They are next to us. They are eating with us. You know, we are caring about them. They are caring about us. But imagine that soldier who is in the front line fighting the terrorist in ISIS, and he's fighting, you know, in he's fasting as well. And his children are, you know, in Najaf or in Karbala, right? And at the time of breaking fast, how is he feeling? Is he not a father? I'm a father as well. He's a father as well. What is the difference? He's a mu'min as well. He's a Shia as well. I'm a Shia as well. But Allah have somehow placed us here, right? So we got to be thankful for what He has given. Our children got to be thankful for what they have. You know, they take things for granted. If you don't buy them a game or something, or if you don't allow them to really, you know, download an app or something, they get so upset and furious about it. You know, people at the front line, they have no communication with their family members. Here, when we travel, we are communicating every half hour to an hour and what's going on, and we are reporting them, right? But there are people who are suffering at this very moment. So it is very much required by us, with this fasting mouth, with this fasting sort of hal that we have, that we pray for all mu'mineen and mu'minat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the life, honor, dignity of all of the lovers of Ahl Bayt alayhimus salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uproot this fitna of ISIS from this earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy all those who have no potential guidance in their heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of our maraja-izam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our holy shrines. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our fast and ibadat, and the fast and ibadat of all of the mu'mineen and mu'minat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our marhumeen and increase their daraja and mahshur them with Ahli Bayt alayhimus salam in Barzakh and Akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give shifa to jumla mu'mineen and mu'minat, particularly those who have requested us for prayers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our elderly ones, give them health. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our young ones and guide them and guide us all on the teachings and the footsteps of Ahl Bayt alayhimus salam. Allahumma nawwir dhahiri bi ta'atik wa batini bi muhabbatik wa qalbi bi ma'rifatik wa ruhi bi mushahidatik wa sirr al-istighlal ittisali bi hadratik. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram, rahmallahu man qara al-fatiha li arwahi al-mu'minin wal mu'minat, especially the marhumin of the brothers and sisters who are present here, the marhumin of the volunteers, the marhumin of the sponsors of the iftar tonight, with the loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Mu'minin, we have about like 5 minutes before the Azan Maghrib, so please get ready with your wudu. Now, we request sisters to vacate hallway so we can remove the partition for the Jama'ah Salah. Maulana Mirza Muhammad Abbas is going to lead the Salat on the women's side. And Brother Wajah Siddiqui is going to lead the Salat on the men's side. We'll need 5 volunteers to go with Maulana in Hall C. 5 volunteers. Hello.
अब आवाज़ बहुत कमी होगी मारने पर आवाज़ नहीं आएगी.
Hello. Hello.
Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahil aliyyil azim. Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن أمير المؤمنين عليا ولي الله أشهد أن أمير المؤمنين عليا حجة الله حيا على الصلاة حيا على الصلاة حيا على الفلاح حيا على الفلاح حيا على خير الأعمال حيا على خير الأعمال الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله فاتحة مع الصلوات
مؤمنين there's a lot of space in the front if you can please fill up the spaces over here
صلاه المغرب الله اكبر الله اكبر اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان محمد رسول الله اشهد ان محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اشهد ان علي ولي الله أشهد أن علي حجة الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح حي على خير العمل حي على خير العمل قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله إن الصلاة ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم